And now it's time on Flame CCR to take a look behind the studio's green door to find out who is in today's chat room.
Midnight, one more night without sleeping, watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping?
And now, are you listening?
So welcome to Chat Room on Flame, and my guest today in Chat Room is a young man you'll very soon recognise which part of the UK he is from, David Woods. He lives in Manchester at the moment, he's been in Birkenhead today, I'll ask him why in a minute, but David, welcome to Flame and thank you for being with us this afternoon.
It's lovely to be here, thanks for the opportunity to come and spend some time with you.
First of all, it's now a Friday afternoon. What brings you from Manchester to Birkenhead on a Friday?
Well, every fortnight, as best we can fit it into busy schedules, we run a Bible class at the Church of God in Birkenhead. It meets at Atherton Hall, Westbourne Road. And we've been doing that for almost 5 years now. And we do it every fortnight, as I say, and we've advertised this Bible class to other Christian groups in the area. And we have people from various different church denominations coming and sharing with us. And sometimes, like today, we've almost filled the capacity around the tables with, I think we had 16 people there today, but there's always room for more.
It's revival. And, and I must apologise, because I've been coming to Flame for 3 years now, and only a few months ago did I ever notice your little Bible study group leaflet and a copy of a magazine we'll come on to later with a big NT on the front. I thought it stood for the New Testament and it doesn't. We'll come to that. And I've been to the last three studies. And David, just to say personally, I've been very blessed by your ministry. It's wonderful that you come over all the way from South Manchester to Birkenhead. And I'm going to pin the Bible study programme up on the notice board so other folk who come to St Paul's Road Mission here in Rock Ferry will get to know about this Bible study, which is a great blessing. So thank you again for your input.
That's
but
great.
Already I think our listeners will have discerned you're from a certain part of the UK. Just tell us a little bit about your early life.
I was born and grew up in a town called Ballymena in Northern Ireland, which is just northeast of Belfast. I was born and raised in a Christian family, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. My grandparents as well were located not too far from us. They had a profound influence on my life too. And I had a happy upbringing, mainly. I was a little bit of a naughty lad, as you can be when you get into your teens, but my days in Northern Ireland are precious days, and I was back there last week just helping out with a youth camp there that I used to be a kid at whenever I was younger, so I was over there helping as a leader, and it's just good to get back and to mingle with the folks back there again.
That's fantastic. Well, David, through this programme you've chosen some music and hymns to go along with our talk today. Now, let's listen to the first one right now.
Seated here on shoulders broad, secured by hands that fashion steel. And oh, this view that I survey, where men race by on fields of green, far above the clamoring throng, I raise my hands in small salute. And to our home then we retire, when whistle blows a long retreat. And seated there in quiet contemplation, listening for higher dividends. But I step down and you are gone, though I would give my weight in gold. When earthly storms come pressing in, to find myself in your embrace. And oh, your hands are warm, bruised and battered, burnished brown, hands that lifted tombs. In 30 years you set them down, my small hand could in your palms hollow, safe, secure. My one ambition is one day to have hands like yours. Now who is there can reach me here on my high and lifted place, seated here on golden throne where angels and archangels dwell? And oh, this view that I survey, men raced by on fields of green, and trapped within the clamoring throng, some hands are raised in vain salute. So from your home you must away, my kingdom shall no more retreat, and walk with them in quiet contemplation, and tell them of a father's love, and first a boy and then a man, a bitter cup to drink you will, until earthly storms come pressing in, and I'll take you to my own embrace. And oh, your hands are warm, bruised and battered, burnished brown, hands that lifted toes. At 30 years you set them, their small lives can fit in your palms hollow, safe, secure. My only hope is this, that one day they'd have hands like yours.
Yes, you've given it away, David. You're from Northern Ireland, God's own country. I remember my first ever little holiday we had, my wife and I, about 10 years ago in Northern Ireland, and we were staying up near Coleraine. And Coleraine's a medium-sized town, and they have an evening newspaper. And I don't know if it was a weekly one or not, but we said to the lady in the guest house where we were staying, and she was Christian, she said, it's a Saturday night, and tomorrow morning we'd like to go to church. And she said, oh, well, you must look at the local paper. There's plenty to choose from. And I thought, oh, maybe a couple of column inches. It was a page and a half of a broadsheet newspaper of different churches. And we went to two on that Sunday, one in the morning, one in the evening. We could have been there all day. And so I have a great respect for Northern Ireland. It's the only part of the UK that has not allowed gay marriage, which I think is an interesting thing. And yet we hear of bakers in Belfast who are being prosecuted by the Equality Commission. And yet the Northern Ireland folk are strong in faith, and it's quite a witness for you to come over from there, God's own country, and come to England and be a missionary. Tell us about how you came to be over in England.
Well, it was the conclusion of my studies. I went through my education in Northern Ireland. It was a fine education over there, I would say. And I studied geography at university and was all set to be a teacher, and because I didn't know what else to go into in those days. So I actually secured a place on a PGCE, a teacher training course.
This was in Belfast.
Yes, that was back in Belfast. But I'd also met the lady who's now my wife, and things started to change a little bit in thinking. So I decided that maybe my calling in life was not to be a teacher in a school, but I prefer to get into business, and that sort of freed me up to come over and spend some time with Hayley as well. So much to my parents' initial disgust and surprise, I actually relinquished my PGCE place, moved over here to seek out employment, and the year later I was married to Hayley, my wife. I had employment then for a good number of years, mainly in sales. And latterly, I was managing a small business that was based out of Runcorn for an overseas firm. But all during this time, going back to my late teens, early 20s, I had this sense that there was something else that I should be doing. And that became stronger and stronger during my 20s. I always felt that secular employment was not something I would permanently be in. And then it was in my early 30s where I had two circumstances where I certainly felt a very direct call from the Lord to give up secular employment. but I resisted for years because I wasn't convinced that this was exactly the Lord's word or whether it was just my mind.
The Lord is very persistent, isn't he? When he knocks, he keeps on knocking, and we get no peace until we give in.
And it was interesting, I say this often, my wife Hayley was very perceptive as well, even before we were married. She once said to me, "Do you see yourself going full-time in service for the Lord?" And I said, "Well, yes, I can see that potentially happening, but the Lord has to call to that." So I've not been through any formal Bible training, no seminary or anything like that. So any application to Scripture and such like has been through teachers in churches of God that I'm associated with and through private study. But the Lord's call in my life just came to a head. It's going back 6 years ago, and I took that to my local elders in my local church, who then took it wider, and it was eventually confirmed at the conference of elders that the Churches of God hosts every 18 months, and I was confirmed as a full-time worker for them and have been active since 2011. So this is my fifth year of active service.
I'm guessing then Hayley is not from Northern Ireland?
No, she is from Southport, and actually she came to Northern Ireland when I was only 13, and there's embarrassing stories about that she's 18 months older than me, so was much more mature than me then. But then she reappeared for a Bible study weekend when she was 20 and I was 19, and that was the start of our relationship. So she grew up as well in a Christian family associated with Churches of God.
So you and Hayley both have the same sort of background. She also growing up in a Christian family in one of the Churches of God in South.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you sort of knew each other as teenagers at a Bible camp, and then eventually the Lord made it clear that you should just be together. So how come you end up in Manchester rather than in Southport?
Well, Hayley at that time was working for Barclays Bank, and she was on a bit of a secondment assignment with them, which meant she travelled around quite a lot. And that final assignment just prior to our being married was in Manchester for a year. So that made sense for us to both be located there, help for wedding preparations and things like that as well. But we then decided that I found work there, Hayley found a permanent position with Barclays near Knutsford, and it just made sense to be located in Manchester, and the Church of God in Manchester has therefore been my church home for the last 20 years, because I've been here 20 years now.
Wow. Okay, let's have our second piece of music, David, that you've chosen for us today.
I'll praise you for faithfulness, O Lord, and for your Father's love that never ends. Who am I, the King of love, my shepherd is? Who am I that you should call me friend? Made lower than the angels for a time, to suffer death for only you alone. Are my one high priest, my only sacrifice, and my suffer death for all.
When I think on all these things, oh, I love you more and more. Praise you for your faithfulness, oh Lord.
Okay, it's good to hear some music we don't normally hear on Flame. And thank you, David, for your choices. All the music today, David, are hymns that you yourself have chosen that come out of the Churches of God. Well, we've several references to the Churches of God. Perhaps you'd like to just say a little bit about the Churches of God. And you've already mentioned the one in Birkenhead. It's just off Grange Road West. And I've been very blessed the times I've been there, very welcoming, loving folk. I've also attended a conference at the Salvation Army in North Liverpool about 2 months ago. And again, that's perhaps where I first met some of the folk who come to the Bible study. And I've been very welcomed and blessed as a good Anglican. I've been made very welcome. And I've just been very encouraged and edified by my contact with your group. So say something about the Churches of God and how they are distinctive and how long they've been going.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. I'm glad you felt welcome as well, because that's a good thing. We're to enjoy a fellowship with one another and with other Christians, of course. Churches of God, we would, of course, trace our heritage right back to the New Testament. And many people within Churches of God would say we're back to the Bible movement, certainly back to what we would see as being the pattern and the plan of collective church testimony that's articulated, we understand, from New Testament teachings. What the Lord taught through the apostles and how that then was seen in action through Acts and through the things that Paul and Peter and the other letter writers in the New Testament would say it. We would say that towards the end of the first century, things were starting to move away from probably that ideal, and we end up with a departure from truth for a long period of time. But the current expression of Churches of God did appear around 1892 through 1894.
Right. So time, just over 100 years old.
Yeah. Okay. So at that time, it was a move away from brethren, open brethren companies. So it was people understanding from within brethren circles that, if you know anything about brethrenism, that there still would be that teaching that each assembly is autonomous, but it's almost like a confederacy of what they do, but it does mean that each makes their own decisions. There were men and women back then who saw that there was something else, that there should have been a unity of teaching, a unity of elders together. And we see that in Acts 15, for example, with what we would call the first council, the first conference.
Yeah.
And that would seem to us to put into effect the things that the Lord desires, which is a people that are for him. And there's definitely a within and a without, as Paul goes into in 1 Corinthians 5, for example, those that had to be disciplined because of things that were contrary to the Lord's things, then were disciplined and put away or excommunicated from the church. How could that happen if there was no unity across the churches?
Right.
People seeing this wanted to put that into effect, and therefore, we would say, separated themselves from their old associations. And in the beginning, there were 100 churches, particularly in the UK, but they did stretch as far as Australia back in those days, that then together would call themselves the Churches of God in a united fellowship. And that's maintained then through elders in a plurality of elders in churches meeting together from all of the churches every 18 months. Certainly, that's been the pattern in recent years, to confirm doctrine, to deal with any questions that might arise to do with practice and understanding of our present doctrines and such like. And we seek to have a unity worldwide across the churches. Churches now number worldwide just over 100. And disappointingly, we would have to admit that we've seen decline in the Western world in terms of numbers.
I can't think of any church in the Western world that is growing apace as we should. But I can see plenty in the third world.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you sound a bit like you have a general synod, using a good Anglican term.
Yeah, you could say
and
that.
Where the brethren, of course, don't. Mm-hmm. I've got a little booklet here called About the Churches of God. And there is a website on the back, in case our listeners would like to know more. I'm sure they can access a lot of the details from the website, am I correct?
That's true. The Churches of God website is churchesofgod.info. It's essentially a window to the world as a website is these days, to try and attract people. And yes, we would be looking to attract the unbelievers with the information that's there, the articles that are of interest. But also we're seeking to appeal to believers as well, to consider the scriptures in a way that we would consider them, to see if there's sympathies with our views on some things. And obviously we are looking to build up our churches. You've referenced the third world, of course. We've known a lot of growth, and we've seen planting of churches even just recently in third world countries, a developing world. I'm associated in work overseas. We'll maybe come on to that in a moment. And a lot of that contact actually has started with our website going back 12 years ago. So the website does bring in a lot of contact.
So just to say that again, that's www. And I'm guessing all the small letters.
Yes.
And then churches, churches.gov, and even the G is a small G, mm-hmm. but we know really he isn't a small G. And it's dot info, not
yes.
dot com or dot co.
No,
or,
it's dot info. Or info.
So please do, when you've finished listening to this programme, keep the radio on, of course, and go and make yourself a cup of tea or coffee and go onto your computer and have a look in the Churches of God. Well, I've been to some brethren assemblies where perhaps I haven't felt very welcome, but I've been most welcomed in the Churches of God, and there is certainly one in Liverpool as well.
Yes, in the Northwest District, which is where I would be located, we have a number of churches. The church in Liverpool would be one of our bigger congregation churches, as is Manchester. I help out there with youth work now and again because I'm a shared resource across worldwide Churches of God, actually. But while I'm at home, I try and help out a little bit over there. But the conference that you went to, Nick, was one of our Bible teaching conferences. And we actually use a Salvation Army centre around the corner from where our church hall is, just because the facilities are wonderful.
I know this very well, actually, because although I live in South Liverpool, as many of our listeners will know, I used to live in McGull in North Liverpool, and I used to drive into Liverpool down Rice Lane, and I know exactly where the Salvation Army building was, mm-hmm. because I used to teach a boy whose mum was very active there. I was a teacher too, by the way. I wasn't quite sure what you meant by you didn't want to go through into teaching, but you are a teacher now, and I'm sure our listeners have heard enough of you already to know that you're a very good teacher too. But I used to pass a church with an intriguing title above the door. It just said, God is love.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what is that place? And you can't park there, because if you'll know the Rice Lane flyover, where the Queen's Drive crosses Rice Lane and comes into County Road, it's very busy. And you can't just stop the car and get out and have a look. Because I'm one of these people who will get to a church and there's a notice board outside, I'll stop the car and have a look. But you can't do it without. So I've whizzed past there so many times, coming from North Liverpool onto Queen's Drive to go south, because I used to work in a school in Wavertree. I must have passed that church hundreds of times, and I have never, ever yet been in there.
Well, you're very welcome. There is actually a little car park at the back of it, and there is one to the side. And interesting, because of your point that people can't actually stop, particularly if they're on the flyover, they did notice in Liverpool that people do stop when they're in traffic. So they put up a digital sign up on the outside of the church. So if you go past it these days, you'll actually have an illuminated sign that gives you all this information about church services and such like. So that's
very interesting, because often the queues to the East Lancs Road, about 200 yards down, are working their way back up towards Bootle. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in a traffic queue. And that's a really great witness. Fantastic.
Yeah, that is. It's good.
I'm pleased about that. Let's have another hymn, David, from your collection. And again, one that I don't know, but I'm sure our listeners will be blessed.
When the rain falls and it some days will, then the pavement under my feet sparkles silver and gold in reflected light that I otherwise wouldn't have seen. And when the storm comes and the strong wind blows, I will bow my head to push through. Every step that I take, I will watch and pray and be sure my foothold is true. Jesus, don't you keep me from that storm. I want to walk that sacred ground, for you are master of it. And I am but a lost and found. And in the dry place, in the wilderness, when your word seems so far away, oh, I will think of my life and I will bless your name, for your promises never have failed. When the night falls at the end of day. I will lift my eyes to the heavens, and we will shine like the stars for eternal days in your presence forever and ever. So Jesus, don't you keep me from that storm. I wanna walk that sacred ground, for you are master of it all, and I am but a lost and found. Jesus, don't you keep me from that storm. I wanna walk that sacred.
So, David, you're still in Manchester, but you're in Birkenhead today. You say you're in Runcorn, you obviously know Southport, so you do spend a lot of time in our area. But talk about your wider ministry. Through the summer, you were very much involved with Bible camps and with young people. Tell us a little bit about your wider ministry, apart from teaching.
Well, my wider ministry is very varied, if I can put it that way. Summertime is a special time of year for me because I am involved in youth camps. I've just come back, I think I referenced it earlier, from Northern Ireland, having spent a week there. And it is interacting with young children and teaching and preaching to them and sharing the gospel in accessible ways with them. And also taking usually teenagers as well and helping them to develop Bible study techniques and just to learn the things that the Lord would want for them in discipleship. We're just about to embark our Northwest Summer Camp, as we call it, and it's open to families. So we have a number of kids all the way from babies right through to early teens, and then we have some parents coming along from the Churches of God across the Northwest, but also some that would come through from the Midlands as well. So we're expecting about 90 people at Barnstondale, and I'll have an opportunity to lead one of the morning Bible class groups with teenagers, and I do a little bit of singing with guitar as well, so leading the kids and the grown-ups in some praise times.
Didn't know that, David, otherwise we'd have had you singing today
our
listeners.
I think that would have turned all your listeners away.
But now all these children, I mean, presumably they're all believers or are they not?
No, there's a mix. Certainly the Northwest Summer Camp, we've got a number of kids coming from Manchester. Some of them are Christians and they're members of our families. But we have a fresh influx from our youth club there. And some of the kids coming, we don't know where they stand with the Lord Jesus at the moment and where they are with God. So we're building on the work that we would do weekly with our youth clubs. And camp is a special time. You get these people in a slightly different environment and you can repeatedly tell them the things that they need to know of the Lord Jesus and his saving work for them. And you can answer their questions because it provides you with that opportunity in that environment to do so.
I think that's a wonderful thing in the days when, you know, there's so many things you can be doing in the summer, foreign holidays. But youth camps, I mean, I've known so many people who've come to faith by going to a youth camp. Maybe they thought they were a Christian and suddenly realised the Holy Spirit just got hold of them and said, you need to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, it's evangelistic. It's educational. It's also fun as well. I'm sure you're going to be here every day for a week.
Yes, well, we stay over there, so it's the residential camp. And by the end of the week, I'll be looking forward to getting home for some sleep. But my wider activities actually mean that we as a family are jetting off to the US the Monday following that, because we have some friends who emigrated from Buxton to there, and they're with the Church of God in Trinidad in Colorado, and they run similar Bible camps during the summer, and they want to try a new camp that engages with families. So they asked us if we would go across and help out with that. So we're going to be across for 3.5 weeks, partly holiday, but we're also going to go up to their regular campsite there and have a few nights up there with families that have been showing interest in coming around and learning more of God's
fantastic. God's so you've been full-time for 5 years, four years, and yet you're already jetting all around the world.
It's
amazing what doors the Lord will open, and as you say, those he calls, he equips.
Indeed, and you could not do this work if it was not for that equipping through the Holy Spirit and his enabling and the gifting and so on that God provides. None of us, as Paul says, is adequate for this, but we're made adequate through Christ. I've had the delight in the last 4 years of getting involved in the work in the Philippines in particular. So that's my exposure to work in the developing world. That was a work that sprung out of contact with our website. And we've planted, just recently, one of my other colleagues, Brian, was out there, and we had the joy of planting another church there. So we've 10 churches in 11, meeting in 11 companies there, and that all in the last 11 years. So it's an entirely different environment out there. You've got people with an appetite for the word, people who are very poor circumstances, who hear the hope of the gospel and embrace it so often, and then want to go on and seek the Lord and to develop a relationship with him and to be disciples.
Very often it's the materially rich who are the poor in spirit. As you say, there's very little hunger, and that's why I think it's very important in your ministry in this area, in Bible camps, is there's so little knowledge of the Word of God, even among professing believers in churches, and certainly in young people, where in schools these days, schools have to tread a very careful line in what they can say in the classroom. And so I think what you're doing there is great. The Philippines, well, you know, it strikes me as a lot of Christians, but a lot of them are nominal. There's a big Catholic population and maybe a big Anglican one too. But there's also a Muslim presence as well near Indonesia. Have you been out to the Philippines, and how different is it?
Yes, I've been out. I've been out 4 times. I'm heading out there. I've just literally booked my flights 2 days ago to go there again in October, November. So I'll go for just under 4 weeks. It is a very diverse country. There's a lot of people there, high density of population, but the majority would be Roman Catholic, and many of them very devout, but misguided, seeking to achieve a salvation through their works. There is a Muslim influence. We're in the southern island of Mindanao. That's where most of our operations is based, and we have to take care in certain areas because of the Muslim influence, and we take a sounding of the locals as to whether it's safe to travel and such like, because you want to take necessary precautions now and again. But in my time there, I have never seen anything untoward. One thing that is of great concern is that we see the so-called Christian sects going out there, and they're able to pull in poor people with their heresies with deception. And these poor people are giving so much of their money in the hope of receiving salvation and also achieving that through their works and such like. So we come up against Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other. Iglesia Ni Cristo is one that's particular to the Philippines, and they're everywhere. And there's so many that need to be taught the truth of God. So we're interacting with unbelievers. Quite often we will go of an evening and preach in shanty towns effectively, and you'll get an instant audience because there's nothing else for them to do of an evening. They'll come and they'll listen, and that invariably will mean that we will encounter local people who would consider themselves to be Christians, and they will take issue with some of the things that we're teaching about the Trinity, for example, and they'll want to interact. So we're dealing with those that are unbelievers, we're dealing with Roman Catholics who are achieving salvation by works, they think, and then other groups who want to take us to task on the purity and the truth of God's word.
So it's a huge harvest field with people who are hungry, but shallow in terms of knowledge and resources. Do they have the scriptures?
They do have the scriptures. When we're out there, we would use funds that we have very often to provide them with the scriptures. Essentially, in the Southern Island anyway, they only have really two versions of the Bible in their local dialect. One is the King James Version, which for some of them, particularly older people who can't even read or write, that's a challenge for them to understand that. The other version that is readily available is the Good News version. So we would take a sounding. If some of the younger people have been through education, they can handle the King James version and they're good at applying themselves and study. For people that are older, then we would give them Good News Bibles if they can read. But we've been very much knowing the blessing of these audio Bibles as well that are solar powered and wind up and such like. So we take these out and they're a blessing to people. You can tell when they turn up to church services are there and they just soak up what they hear, and their memories are so good, it would seem, because they're able to retain these things even though they may be illiterate. It's wonderful to see.
There are one or two Christians in England who've grown up in this country who find the King James Version difficult to understand as well. The Good News is not really a study Bible. It's okay as a read, mm-hmm. but I think for study is certainly something between the two perhaps would be ideal. Yeah. Manila, what do you know about Manila? That's the only place I've ever heard of in the Philippines. It's a big city.
It is a big city. I don't actually know much of Manila. Last year was the first time I encountered Manila because I took flight connections that took me through Manila, and I had a little bit of a moment between flights in Manila, which I'd rather not go into on the radio, but it was some stupidity of my own and trusting people that you should never trust and such like, but the Lord saved me from silly examples. Well, I'll tell you something of it. I was whisked away from the airport by people purporting to be Philippines Airlines to take me to a place where I could stay until my next flight, and it turned out that place was not the sort of place you want to be going. So when I announced to them, well, I'm a missionary, and there's no way I'm stepping outside that place, they were all very embarrassed and took me rapidly back to the airport. But that was my own stupidity. I don't know much of the city myself. My colleague Brian that I've mentioned, who's been involved in the work there for the last 11, 12 years now, he has spent some time in Manila because we have family members of people in Mindanao that have gone to Manila because sometimes it's the only place they can find work or work that will give them sufficient funds. And when they go there, they're evangelizing and they're reaching out to people in the localities where they live. So it's not my intention on this trip necessarily to spend any time in Manila, because we've enough to do in Mindanao, but I think Brian, who's heading out to Australia later in the year, is hoping to get a connection through. So I can't give you much about Manila. It's just full of people and a lot of noise, and you just have to be careful who you trust.
I'm sure you're right. I can imagine. But now, the only other thing I know about the Philippines is the terrible disasters they've had weather-wise. You weren't over there during the terrible typhoon or hurricane, whatever they had?
Yes, we were there, actually. We were there 2 years ago when the big typhoon came through. There was one a couple of years prior to that, and then the big one, and its name's just escaped me, which is shocking. It came through. We'd actually travelled north to an area where we didn't have any communications back to the UK, and the locals had said to us there's a big storm coming through. We slept through the night. There was a lot of rain, but actually the storm had passed not that far north of us. We got the tail end of it, but it wrecked the place. You've seen on the TV the state of Tacloban. It was just decimated by this. But it does affect the communities further south in Mindanao as well, because you get the sea surge that's associated with that. So a lot of people, because they cannot afford land, they'll build their houses on the shore where they don't have any permission to do so, but it's the only place they can.
Yeah.
Sea comes in, washes all their goods away. We were actually meeting with some people who wanted to ask for baptism and for addition to Churches of God that next day, and one chap turned up, an older chap, and he said, "I'm sorry I'm late, but I've just lost everything." And his house had practically been washed away with most of his earthly belongings, which he wouldn't have had much at all. But yet his desire was to come and to meet with us and to discuss the scriptures and to say, "I want to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized."
Well, that's absolutely fantastic.
And so to see that is a wonderful, wonderful.
But the marvellous that he was able to put aside the earthly and seek the spiritual, seek the heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Colossians 3 says, to set our minds upon. Fantastic. Let's have a penultimate hymn for today, David, now. And again, another one from your varied collection.
You
you were leaving Jesus, the humble king who never wore an earthly crown. To steal away at night when they took down your body, with love and tears to leave till the declaration he is risen. You are risen, Jesus. He is not dead. Behold, he lives forevermore. Hey, the cross, oh, the wonderful cross.
Okay, David, thank you very much for your choice of music today. It's very different to what we normally get on Flame, because many of the hymns are totally unknown to me as a not very good Anglican. One of the things that first hit me, and this was about a year ago, lying around the radio station here at St Paul's Road Mission, was a magazine called NT. I mentioned this earlier. And I thought this stands for the New Testament. And underneath it says, A Pattern for Life in God's House. And it turns out that there's a lady in your circle who goes to the Bible Studies in Birkenhead, who lives in Rock Ferry, who drops this through the door. And by coincidence, I open it, and there's an article by somebody called David Webster from Liverpool. Now, David, just give me 1 minute to tell you the story of David Webster. When I was a teacher in Liverpool, I was a chemistry teacher at Bluecoat School, 1984, 1985, I wasn't saved, I was an atheist, but battling, I was struggling, as I know it now. And this young boy called David Webster was in year 9, third year, and he went on to be a doctor. He's now in Liverpool, Dr. David Webster. So when I saw David Webster Liverpool, I thought, who is this? He was the boy who used to witness to me. He used to say, Mr. Khan, you need to know Jesus Christ. And I said, I don't believe in God. And Jesus was just a good man, and he didn't rise from the dead. And he used to witness to me. And then about a year after he left, I got saved, and he was delighted. Of course he was. And I was delighted that he had the courage to witness to his chemistry teacher quite boldly. And I thought, this is David Webster. Now, it turns out it isn't. But it got me reading the magazine. And I read articles by, you mentioned Brian. Is this Brian Johnson?
It is, yes.
And yeah. I was very blessed by what he's written. And I've now had 4 or 5 of these magazines. I've still got them. I must pass them on. Because I've been very blessed by the articles. Say something about this magazine and give us its proper title, if you will.
Oh, okay, I will do that. NT stands for Needed Truth, which is what it was originally called when it was first published back in 1888. At the time, I've referenced before, when certain brothers and sisters in brethren circles were seeking to share the teachings that they were coming to, an understanding of a difference between the Church, the Body of Christ, and Churches of God, and teaching about the House of God as we would understand it from all of the scriptures and its expression today in New Testament days, they found that putting forward their views in existing magazines wasn't working, so they felt it was appropriate to publish their own magazine. So as I say, 1888 was the first publication, and it was monthly until a few years ago, when we changed it then to a quarterly magazine and rebranded it NT to try and maybe soften the Needed Truth thing a little. But it's really, the contributors are all writers, men from Churches of God worldwide who would contribute to this. And it's sharing general Christian teaching on various topics, but also would take us into matters that are core doctrines for us in Churches of God as well. It is a good read, and we try and keep it fresh, and the design is good and so on. And we have a wide circulation within Churches of God, but Margaret, that you've referred to here in Birkenhead, she has a passion for sharing this with people across Birkenhead, and I know that for years now she has posted this to various Christian groups. So there may be people listening that have seen this, but have wondered where it's come from. We have to thank Margaret for her hard work on that.
Well, if you want to find out more, if you've got a copy of this magazine at home or wonder about it, the Church of God in Birkenhead, Atherton Hall, Westbourne Road, which is off Grange Road West, Birkenhead, and I guess they meet on a Sunday morning. I'm sure you'll find a welcome there if you go along. And certainly on the Friday meetings in Atherton Hall on a Friday lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed by them, and I've been blessed by the magazine. And maybe we'll see the name David Woods there.
Yes, I've written a few articles. I find it easier to talk than I do to write. But somebody famous said, writing makes an exact man. So I should do more of it.
The magazine, you say, is nearly 130 years old. It actually predates the Churches of God as a movement.
Yes. It was the first attempt to articulate the teachings that people were discovering too with United Elderhood, with an expression of the House of God, a people together for God, and God dwelling among a people, giving expression to that. And that separation in 1892 through 94 was as a consequence of the people who contributed to that and other people seeing the teaching and wanting to be part of the outcome of that.
So theologically you'd be very similar to the Brethren Fellowships. But you would have it every 18 months. That means you have one in the summer, one in the winter?
Yes, well, Easter time and September time. We had one in Easter just past. Yes, we have a gathering of elders from all the Churches of God across the world, because we would see that as being pointed to in Acts 15, because there was the issue that arose up in Asia.
The Council of Jerusalem,
so they came to Jerusalem, and that which was agreed there was not just taken back to Antioch, but the letter was to wider churches. And Paul, he says on a number of occasions that he teaches the same thing in every church. So there were binding things that were agreed. So our conference of elders, we don't get every elder from every church.
Whereabouts are those? Do you hold them in London? Or?
No, they're held in Swanwick, just north of
Nottingham. Oh, the Hayes Conference Centre.
Indeed,
yes. Very good. Well, a good central venue in England.
It is, it's good.
And near Manchester and Liverpool. So you're there every 18 months?
Yes, that's it.
Right, fantastic. Okay, let's have a last piece of music today. Before we say goodbye to David.
I took a walk down to the harbour. I even watched a ship roll in. And all those lights upon the water shimmering. These empty streets once thronged with people, before the houses had all gone. And fathers rose to queue for work before the dawn. And every meal upon the table bore testimony to a day spent working hard upon a ship from far away. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus. the church steps stood a preacher. He cried redemption to the dark, and all his words fell just like honey on a rock. And hearts made stony by those hard times, and steely eyes and windswept softened by his stories of amazing grace. And two and three to many thousands, redemption fell upon the land. The tiger lay before the lion, and tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love, and will your anchor hold in the flood? And I won't ever. Maybe if I'll take my stand, perhaps I'll see revival fall upon this land. For I've come looking for adventure, and it's adventure I have found since first I set my feet upon your holy ground. I took a walk down to the harbor. I even watched a ship roll in, with all its lights upon the water shimmering. Tell me the Jesus and his love, and will your anchor hold you in the
Okay, well, all the music today has been chosen by our guest, David Woods from Manchester, an elder and full-time worker with the Churches of God in the UK, but say with an international ministry, as you've just heard. Before we go, David, first of all, how can our listeners pray for you, and would you appreciate prayer?
I appreciate prayer, and I very much rely on prayer, and I know that people tell me they pray, and there are people that I know that pray for me and for my family, and others, of course, as well, and they don't notify us of that. We rely on the strength of our Lord in this. One of my favourite scriptures I share with people all the time is Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And it is so easy in ministry, I find, to come to a place where you trust your own abilities and move away from relying on the strength of the Lord. So specifics for prayer, I've been a little bit sick of late, a little bit weakened, and so camp work is a tendency to tire one out. So it would be good to know physical strength, returning to full peak again, set me off right for the work in the Philippines and so on. And I would just seek prayer, not necessarily for myself, but for myself and other workers that are engaged, in, particularly in the camp work, because that's so upfront with my own prayers at the moment, particularly praying for the people at camp, those who don't know the Lord Jesus at all, that they'll hear of him as their saviour and embrace him, and then would go on to serve him. We've a real burden for myself as well. I have a real burden for young people in Churches of God who are not very well grounded, some things, and the camps are an opportunity for them to be gripped by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, as you mentioned earlier, Nick, to really work in their lives. And so maybe listeners, please, if you can pray for that work and for our little part in it.
And this of course, has a Wirral focus, because Barnstondale, I'm sure if you live in the Wirral, you'll know of Barnstondale in South Wirral. We've talked about the USA, we've talked about the Philippines. do pray for David in his future ministry. And David, just before you go, just say a little bit about the meetings coming up.
They are on Fridays, and the time's 12 noon to 2 p.m. And if you arrive at 12 noon, you'll be treated to lunch, no charge for that at all. And the locals do us a really good lunch there.
I can testify to that.
Very Amen. Good. And our studies currently are in John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John. We've been in it a while, so we're taking our time to work through it. So if anybody wants to join us, you're very welcome.
Bring your Bible and be prepared to be challenged, encouraged, and to contribute, because I found the meetings very open and free and friendly. And ladies, you are allowed to contribute.
Yes. Well, the whole background to this was I came across to Birkenhead to help with one of their traditional coffee mornings, and we felt that it just wasn't impacting people in the local area. So I had actually been involved with a Bible study group like this up in Glasgow when I visited there with the Church of God in Glasgow. So why not try this, advertise it to other Christians locally, and let's build up some links. And here we are, all these years later. We've made some excellent friendships with people from other Christian denominations, and we share the scriptures together and encourage through it. It's good.
It's really been a blessing to me. And if you know where the Christian bookshop in Birkenhead is, it's just round the corner. It's about 30 yards from the bookshop, just along away from the centre and first left, and it's on the left hand side. It's right on the corner of Westbourne Road. So do go along. If the Lord tarries, I shall be there myself. David, it's been great to have you with us. The Lord bless you in your ministry, particularly the way you're helping people in the Wirral, in our local area and wider and beyond too. So thank you so much today for your contribution to Chatroom. And David, it's been a blessing to have you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Nick. It's been a delight.
We've closed the chat room door, but please tune in next time to Flame CCR on 1521 Medium Wave for more from Green Door Studios chat room.
Green Door!
We
hope you enjoyed this programme, which is under the copyright of Wirral Christian Media Limited. Details of the Flame CCR broadcasts and webcasts are on our website, www.flameradio.org. Thank you for listening. Flame.